21. Sleeping in the day was difficult no matter how many years you'd been working nights. Katie had blackout blinds and earplugs, comfy pyjamas and memory foam pillows, but it didn't matter. You couldn't fool your body clock. Your brain knew that it was daytime and resisted sleep like an argumentative toddler. Normally a good book, some hot milk and cereal, and occasionally a couple of Nitol helped to ease her off. Today not even that was working. Her mind was too busy, too distracted. Despite what she had told herself, she couldn't stop thinking about the thin man. The other people. Why were those words written in the notebook? She tossed and turned, thumped her pillow, kicked off the duvet, pulled it back on again, and then eventually admitted defeat. She heaved herself out of bed and padded downstairs to her tiny kitchen. She set the kettle to boil, plucked a couple of digestives out of the biscuit tin and pulled open a kitchen drawer. She fumbled among the detritus of takeaway menus, spare keys, paper clips and sellotape and took out a postcard. A view from a cliff overlooking a beach. The sun was shining. The sky was a deep azure. The waves tipped with white. Beneath the picture, swirly writing read, "Greetings from Gulmouth Bay." They'd gone there for a family holiday, their last one altogether, staying in a whitewashed B&B run by an eccentric lady in her 60s with an alarming red wig and a snappy white terrier. They had eaten ploughmans at country pubs, built lopsided sandcastles on the beach, and even had a photo taken on this very same cliff. No such thing as a happy family, she reminded herself. She remembered standing there, clutching Lou's pudgy hand as Mum wobbled on her heels, smile already blurred around the edges from one too many G&Ts at lunch, and how her elder sister had sulked and moaned about how she hated her picture being taken. Only Dad had been genuinely happy and relaxed, wisps of his thinning hair caught by the breeze as he focused his old Kodak camera and tried to goad them all into saying, "Smelly cheesy feet!" The only solid, stable thing in their lives. The glue that kept them all together. At least he was. And then, one day, he was taken away. Suddenly, brutally, violently. And Katie was the one who found him. 9 years ago, one of those bright spring mornings that fools you into thinking you don't need a jacket and then whips up goosebumps on your arms with a bitter breeze. Katie had arrived at her parents' for Sunday lunch. It wasn't something they did regularly. Mum was hardly the best cook, even when she was sober. But Katie appreciated that at least her parents tried to get them all together as a family every few months. Out of her sisters, Katie was the one who had remained closest, the one who called when she said she would and visited regularly. She supposed they had all fallen into stereotypical sibling roles. Youngest, a little spoilt. Always caught up in some drama or other. Oldest, the rebel, the one who endured the most difficult relationship with their mother and moved away as soon as she could. And middle, the dependable, dull one. Only Katie could be relied upon to turn up early to help with the cooking, clutching a bottle of wine and a plant for Dad's garden. This morning, Katie had forgotten both, and even the smile was hard work. Sam had chickenpox, and he'd kept her up most of the night applying calamine and kisses. Craig, who never nursed Sam when he was ill, had opted to stay at home with him today rather than endure dinner with her family. She was actually relieved. Things weren't great between them and she didn't need the extra stress of his sniping. She had felt on edge as she climbed out of her car and walked up to the front door. Her parents lived in a modern detached house on an estate that had been bright and new when it was built. 30 years ago. The houses were square and bland with identikit beige brick, UPVC windows and built-in garages. The suburban dream, or nightmare, depending on your point of view. It suited her parents, though. And every Sunday morning, as part of the hidden clause in suburbia, Dad could be found out on the driveway washing and polishing his car till it gleamed. But not this Sunday. The garage door was half open. She could see the bonnet of his car just inside, but no Dad waving his chamois. She glanced at her watch. 10:45. She supposed Dad might have cleaned it already, but the driveway was dry. No remnants of foamy suds seeping down to the curb. Something felt wrong. She walked up to the front door and rang the bell. She heard it chime faintly inside. She waited. Normally her mum would be at the door straight away. She rang the bell again. Still no sign of movement, no shadow emerging behind the frosted glass. Concern started to nibble gently at the edges of her stomach. She fumbled in her bag for her keys, unlocked the door, and pushed it open.
Mom! Dad, it's Katie!
The house felt heavy with silence. And there was something else. She sniffed. There was a smell. Not the usual scent of cloying air freshener her mum sprayed everywhere before visitors arrived. It smelt of sweat, she thought, and smoke, stale cigarette smoke. Her parents had never smoked. She walked quickly into the living room. Her heart constricted. It was wrecked. Drawers had been pulled out of the sideboard, books tossed from the shelves, ornaments smashed. The patio doors gaped open. Her mother lay beside the sofa, still in her dressing gown. Her always perfectly styled blonde hair was matted with dark blood. More blood caked her face, which was bruised and swollen.
Mom!
Katie ran forward and fell to her knees. She could hear her mother breathing, but it was faint and raspy. And what about Dad?
It's okay. I'm going to call an ambulance, okay?
She pulled out her mobile and ran back out into the hall. A cool draft brushed her bare arms. She turned. The door between the kitchen and the garage was ajar.
Dad?
She walked towards it, mobile clutched in her hand, heart thudding, and stepped into the cool, dark space. The car was backed in as normal, but the driver's door hung open, the keys still in the ignition. The thief, or thieves, had been trying to steal the car, but something had stopped them. Something had made them panic and run instead.
Dad!
He was slumped over the boot, almost like he was caressing it. Blood ran down the sides of the car, leaving streaks on the silver paintwork.
He'd be so cross about that,
a small voice in her chided.
Making his car all dirty.
She couldn't see the rest of his body, because it was crushed between the car and the garage wall. With such force, the boot had buckled and the rear windscreen splintered. His face was turned towards her, bright blue eyes crinkled around the edges with lines drawn by the sun, now as empty as marbles. A look of surprise caught there. That it could have come to this. That his life would end here, in this cold, dark garage, in his pajamas, as he attempted to stop some lowlife driving away with his car. That he would not rise to greet another Sunday morning. That all Sundays, chamois and waxes, were over, forever. She stared back into her dad's empty eyes and started to scream. Her phone vibrated by her elbow, making her jump and splash hot tea all over the workshop. Shit. She picked it up. Marco, her manager at the coffee shop. Fancy an extra shift this afternoon? One of the Ethans or Nathans obviously hadn't turned up again. She didn't really fancy an extra afternoon's work on top of a night shift. She was supposed to have a couple of days off, and she would have to ask Lou to pick up the children from school. On the other hand, Sam's uniform was getting a little tight and she was never going to get back to sleep now anyway. In fact, it was probably better if she had something else to occupy her mind. She typed back, "Okay. Fine, see you later." Katie sighed. She looked back at the postcard. It had arrived on the anniversary of his death. She flipped it over. On the back, written in her elder sister's familiar spidery writing, "Remember, I did it for Dad. Kiss, kiss." But did you really? Katie thought. Or did you do it for you, Fran?